Is my green light on? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, I want to welcome you tonight and thank you for being here to Only Believe right here in Kenton, Ohio. Amen. Praise God. I tell you what, I'm excited because we are truly here on the Thursday night before we celebrate Easter. And I want to remind each and every one of you that over the years we have come to know this as Holy Thursday, right? Holy Thursday and then Good Friday, because what's so amazing that I always love every day that we celebrate the Lord, but one thing I love about Thursday is that, I mean, this is the final night that Christ was going to be with his disciples. And what I love about it is that he had already determined that for you and I's sake, no matter how torturous or horrific it was going to be, he had already predetermined that he was going to go to the cross. And he was really investing in his disciples when they had the Lord's Supper that night, just because he wanted to leave them with things to make sure that in the future they would be able to rise back up in their faith and go forward. And so I love the fact that God is a God not just when everything is going wonderful, not just when everything is going our way, but what I love about him more than anything is his determination that in our toughest times, our Lord is with us. Amen? In our toughest moments, when we feel alone and we feel, and sometimes we might even be thinking, does God even know who I am? Is he even with me? And the powerful thing is that I can assure you that God is more involved than ever in your situation. Amen? You know, I think it's amazing because we love our babies, don't we? Those of you who have children and just have someone that you love, what's powerful about that is that you love them when they are doing well. But there is even more of an awareness and a concern you have when someone you love is sick or going through a battle. Amen? And so I just want you to rest assured tonight that if you are at the highest place of your faith, or if you're at a situation of difficulty, I thank goodness that our God proved to us that he's the God of all seasons and moments. Amen? So we're going to worship God tonight. We're going to celebrate his goodness. Amen? And we're going to be thankful for what the Lord has done and will do for all of us. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God.
Amen. You guys come expecting tonight. We know God's going to move. We've been praying. We want God to move. We want miracles to happen, lives to be changed in worship. And as we praise and as we worship, that it glorifies our King, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I want you to go around and just shake someone's hand this evening. Welcome them. Maybe tell them something that you're believing God for.
was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? Who was my team till I met you?
Guess what? He's greater. He's stronger. He loves you. Even though you did that thing, whatever it was, he loves you. He's stronger than sin. He's stronger than death. He's stronger than the grave. Come on tonight. You might have been in something, but I serve a God who's stronger. Our God is great. Our God is good. Our God is mercy. Our God is love.
I am the reason.
Right now. See, I want you to know something, that the Lord says that when you get saved, He doesn't wait. Says that the minute you give your heart to the Lord, that you are automatically transformed and seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Amen? See, that's why the Bible says that from that day forward, we should think on those things that are above and not beneath. See, I tell you, this last song holds us so accountable, because most Christians live in their misery because of their mouth. Well, hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. Woo! See, sometimes we want to blame it on everything else, but in all honesty, and I don't know why I'm preaching to you twice, because this is probably going to be in my message tonight, but one thing I want you to understand is that how did you originally get out of darkness? You had to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. And if that confession can break the power of the devil when you are at your weakest that you're ever going to be. See, you were weak then. See, the Bible says in Romans chapter 5, when we were yet without strength, the Lord died for us. Amen? So that means that at our weakest moment, we cried out. And at that moment, the devil was the most powerful he will ever be in your life. See, the unsaved person is more vulnerable to the power of the devil than the saved person. You understand that? And here you are, a sinner without God, but when you hear and you believe, and you just make that confession, Lord, save me, help me. God, I need to be saved. I want forgiveness. However you did it, because, you know, sometimes we try to be so scripted in what we say salvation is, but I'm telling you, believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. And in that moment, you broke the power of darkness that was separating you from eternity. And if you can possess salvation when you're weak, my goodness, what can you do now that you're strong and that God is your Lord and Savior, if you'll just change your attitude, your confession, your faith, what you are expecting, believing God to do. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I tell you what, you know, the Bible says something very powerful, and we better let these children go. Because if not, well, I'll be preaching all night. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. You're looking good there, brother. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I just want to remind you of something that the Bible says, and it's really, it's simple, but it's profound. And I was just considering this this last week. This is just one thing that's been setting in my spirit, you know. And I want you to know that in Psalms chapter 16, the Bible said, "The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot." See, I want you to understand something, that Lord, God's promise to you is that once you are saved, then everything about your life He's going to provide for. The Lord says that I know what you need before you even ask. Amen? And I want you to know that the Lord didn't say, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to sanctify your spirit. Now, whatever happens to you in the world is going to happen to you, but I will protect you spiritually. No, no, no. The Lord says what? I will sanctify you wholly, spirit, soul, and woo, come on now. See, sometimes we need to really make sure that we embrace the fullness of the covenant God has for us. You know, he's the one that said he will give us a renewed mind. I didn't say that. The Lord said that. He's the one that said, by my stripes you're healed. I didn't say that. The Lord said that. And he's the one that says, I will maintain your lot. I will meet all of your needs according to my riches and glory. Not according to what you can do. The Lord says he will meet it according to what he can do. Amen? Woo! And we all know that that is not just enough to get by. You know, I love it because sometimes people think that God only said that once in the Bible, exceedingly abundantly. No, no, no. You need to study out because it's just like this. He said, it was an abundance of grace by which I saved you. See, we're not just getting by. We're not just hanging on and lucky to get in. No, I tell you what, the Bible doesn't say come intimidated, come backwards, come undeserving. The Bible says come boldly before my throne of grace so that you can receive mercy in my time of need. And I tell you what, I wouldn't be anything but the grace of God has transformed me and says I am something. Amen? Praise God. And the grace of God says that about every one of us. I want you to understand something, that you are priceless to the Lord. Amen? And God wants you to walk in his goodness and kindness. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I'm just going to pray a blessing over us, and we're going to bring our offering to the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you that the word says that you will maintain our lot, Father. Lord, that means that every aspect of our life, our home, our who we are, God, what we need, that, Father, you are just going to be the abundance that comes upon us and that provides for us, Father. Lord, I thank you that one of your magnificent names in the Bible, and you have multiples, Father, but one of them is that you are Jehovah Jireh. That means that you are the God that provides, that comes in, and God handles everything that is beyond who we are. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Lord, I just thank you that as people use their faith and come to you tonight, Father, sowing a seed, giving an offering, giving their tithes, Father, Lord, however they're communicating, they're giving to you, Lord, I thank you that you are the one who's seeing and being involved in what they do for your glory. And Lord, I just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Champion.
Hallelujah. Well, I tell you what, I'm just sensing the presence of God. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 You know, we're just going to take a moment, and we just have some people that I know are going through some things, so we're just going to pray for them right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I put Brother Bob before you, God, and Lord, I know that you are strengthening him, God. Father, that you are just healing and strengthening and bringing him forth, Father, and Lord, I put Stacy before you right now, God, and I command sickness, God, anything that would be upon her, I command that to go in Jesus' name, and I thank you, Father, for healing. Lord, I just put Brother Gary before you, God, and I know that he's recovering from procedures, Father, that he's went through, Lord, and I just thank you, God, that it comes upon him expediently. God, I command pain to go. I pray that it's minimized, Father, that even right now, pain is lifting. And God, I pray for Brother Brian, Father, Lord, that as he goes through some different things, that God, you are just strengthening him, God. And Father, you are just answering and bringing forth what's needed, Father, so he knows the directions and steps to take, God, and that he is healed and blessed. And I just thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you that Brother Nathan is here with us tonight, Father. But I just declare your goodness and the quickening of your healing process upon him, Father. I put Brother Larry before you, God. And Lord, I just thank you that supernaturally, God, you are doing healing, restoring all that you do, Father. And Lord, we just give you the glory for it in Jesus' name. And Father, I put Brother Jim before you tonight, Father. And Lord, I just pray strength to be upon him, God. God, I thank you that issues with his back are being resolved even right now, Father. That pain is going and strength is coming and rest is upon him, Lord. And I just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Boy, I'm looking forward to this Sunday. Amen. Now, remember, we already got our cross up here that will be the highlight of our Sunday morning service, and rightfully so. Amen. Because it's the highlight of what Christ has done for us. And I tell you what, someone was even telling me tonight that they have things together that they're bringing to put at the feet of the cross. Amen. We're going to use our faith. And I'm telling you, bring those things that you are believing God for. Come on, nothing's impossible with him. I'm telling you, it's time for us to get our expectations up. And I'm telling you that the Lord is speaking to us. One more thing before I move on and I forget. I do need some help after the service tonight. I just need a little help rearranging some things. So anybody who can help me do that for a few minutes, I want you to do that. And I also want you to know that Pastor Regina is doing wonderful. Amen. She just has a little bit on her plate right now with the group that she's working with. So we're just praying that God just helps them with what they have to do. And I tell you, she is looking forward to being with you here on Sunday. Amen. So remember, at 7 a.m., we're going to rise up early and worship God. And then, and during that time, I'm telling you, miracles are going to happen. Praise God. And then at 10 o'clock, we're going to have another great time of worshiping our Lord. Amen. And God is good. Praise God. Hallelujah. I was talking to a handsome young man before the beginning of service today, and he just said to me, he said, Pastor, I got to tell you about an experience I had. He said, I was at home. He says, and I couldn't sleep. He said, and I woke up and I couldn't sleep. And he said, I thought for a minute. He said, nah, I ain't watching no more movies. I ain't doing any of that kind of stuff. And he said that he just kind of got stirred up by the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'm saying, I throw that in there. But anyhow, he said he all of a sudden grabbed his Bible and he opened it up to the story of the resurrection. And he said, I just really started reading and grabbing a hold of what the Lord had done. And he said, before I knew it, it was like 6:30 in the morning. Amen. Come on. I'm telling you that it's a time and a season for us to have our heart open towards the goodness of God. Amen? And tonight I'm just going to share some things with you because I just believe that as we think about this, and I'm just going to read a scripture to you, and then I'm going to spend just a few moments on something that I really believe is critical for Christians, and it's just been sitting in my spirit this week, you know. And I want you to know that I believe in the provision of God. I believe in prosperity. I believe in God blessing us. Amen. I believe that our life should be filled with righteousness, peace, and joy. Amen. And you're going to get to hear my preamble because I'm going to say this again on Sunday. But I'll also tell you this right now. That if there wasn't a cross, if there wasn't a death, if there wasn't a struggle, there would be no resurrection. Praise God. See, I got to say this sometimes because as Christians, I want to make sure that we understand the fullness of what Jesus did so we can understand the fullness of our responsibility so that we never quit, we never give up, and we never back up, and we never jump off the journey. Amen. Woo. So I just want to say some things to you. The first thing I'm going to just remind you of is what it says in Romans chapter 1. And I think about verse 3, it says, concerning his son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostolic, an apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are you also the called of Jesus Christ. You know, I want you to know that I'm saying this for you because, you know, one thing I have learned is that by the grace of God through work and then through ministry, I've had to travel a lot, you know, even outside the U.S. And I have certainly traveled to most of the states within the U.S. And I got to tell you that whether I've traveled someplace here in America or I've traveled abroad, I want you to know that the one thing that changes lives is Jesus. Whew. And I want you to know that Jesus, by the power of God, is the only thing that is going to bring you completion in this thing called life. Money ain't going to do it. People ain't going to do it. Culture ain't going to do it. Hallelujah. Even a steak and a baked potato ain't going to do it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Whoo! And I love a steak and a baked potato. Amen. Whoo! Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But I want you to know something. Nothing is going to do what only the Lord can do. Amen? And I want you to understand that part of what Jesus went through in his life was, of course, to fulfill Scripture and to make sure that we understood who he was. Amen? There's several times where he said, hey, this must happen so that the Scriptures can be fulfilled. But I also want you to know that Jesus went through life so that at the end of his life, the Scripture records that he was in all points tested, as you and I will be. The only difference between you, me, and him, that he did it without letting sin overtake him. Praise God. And so doing that, Christ proved to us that what we have to do during the good times and the tough times is keep ourselves humble enough to be submitted to God enough to say, Lord, right now I don't understand. Right now it's not easy. Right now I might be hurt. Right now I'm seeing things that did not reflect to me the will of God. I'm not feeling like this is good. I'm not enjoying what I'm going through. But here's what the Lord did. Even when he got to that moment where he said, Lord, I would that you would take this cup from me. He said, but then, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. See, here's what I have to say to you as Christians today. There's too many of us that are so puffed up and arrogant that we think that we can rebel against God, rebel against the church, get attitudes with people, and do stuff our own way just because sometimes we're uncomfortable or things aren't going the way we want them to go. Amen. You know, here's what's so crazy to me is there are people out there that believe they can have a relationship with God and not even be a part of the church. Well, Jesus, even though he did a lot of rebuking and correction within the synagogue, where was he every Sabbath as his custom was? In the house of God. Yeah, give the Lord a hand clap. Because here's what we know. Here's what we know. Jesus would correct things in the church. One time he was so frustrated, he overturned a tables and ran some money changers out. But guess what? He didn't get an attitude and say, well, if the church is like that, I ain't going to be a part of it. I'm going to have faith on my own. I'm going to have a relationship with the Lord on my own. And guess what else he didn't do? Sit there and say that arrogant stuff and then have cuss words and everything else coming out of his mouth the same way. Amen. Well, hallelujah. Woo. Hallelujah. I'm only saying this to you because I want you to understand something. Christ, the one who walked in miracles, and Christ, the one who had no sin, still humbly submitted himself to God and took some things and had some things said about him and done to him that were way terribly wrong. Yet he never took it upon himself or took an attitude where he took on his own way with dealing with it. See, part of the power of Christ and part of the power of us getting totally to that place where we are going to be set free and have consistency of joy and peace and really live this life. Listen, I have hard moments in life, but I got to tell you, I have righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost all the time. Amen. Even when someone is lying about my name. Praise the Lord. Because here's what I want you to understand. Jesus got to the point where he loved people, but he could handle people's weaknesses, but his validation, verification, and comfort and completeness came by pleasing God and being touched by his Father. Amen? And I just want to share some things with you that even though Jesus was the most powerful person that has ever been on the face of the earth, he was also the meekest one that would make sure that before he spoke, he was slow to speak and quick to hear. Amen? Sometimes he wouldn't even speak. Even when he was asked what his opinion was. Uh-oh, I just heard something. Well, I won't say nothing, but if they ask me, then if they're dumb enough to ask me, then I'm gonna tell them the truth. Praise God. Sometimes, even if they're dumb enough to ask you, be smart enough to say nothing. Praise God. I want to remind you that as we take this journey, the Lord said, he who has begun a good work in you is faithful to finish it and fill it. Amen? So I just want to share a few moments of humility with all of us, because I believe that God wants us to really walk in these things. And the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to go to James chapter 1. Praise God. And I'm going to start somewhere that's going to really make you excited, and you're just going to be, just yelling about it. But it says in James chapter 1, verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now, first of all, I want you to know that James says, my brethren, so that lets us know that he's not talking to the backslidden, he's not talking to the unbeliever, he's not talking to non-Christians, he's talking to people that are walking by faith, living by faith, and living by the Lord. And the first thing he says to them is that here you are doing all you can to live for God, and you're going to have not just one, but various temptations. You're going to have difficulties. You're going to have things going on that are going to frustrate you, bother you, hurt you, come against you, and could potentially offend you unless you're smart enough to do it. He says, let patience have her perfect work. In other words, when difficulty is going on, we're going to have to learn how not to move. Amen. When difficulty is going on, we're going to have to learn how not to let our praise be shut down. When difficulty is going on, we're going to have to learn how to not to let our worship be shut down. I want you to know something, that sometimes this is what I don't understand about Christians. If it's so bad, how come you can still get up and go to work? Now, you got an attitude, you got a puffed out lip. You can't come to church, you can't worship, but you can get up, wash your stinking armpits, put your deodorant on, put your uniform on, and go to work. Dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. And I want you to, because the Lord says that he gives us vocations and assignments. He blesses the works of our hands. He gives us skill so we can do our job. But this is what I don't understand. How come we as Christians can participate in every aspect of life? You got an attitude, but you're still shoving the food down. You got an attitude, but you're still putting the gas in the car, and you can still go to the grocery store, and you can go watch a movie, and you can go to the zoo in Mizzou, and hallelujah. And I want you to do all those things. I don't fault you for doing anything like that. I want you to enjoy every aspect of your life. But why is it that when thing gets tough, you bail on the place you should be stuck with? Whew. Whew. See, I want you to know something. Christians, I love you. But weakness, brokenness, and bad times are going to follow you all the days of your life until you get the stick-to-itiveness to say, hey, I'm in a battle. I'm in a trial. And you know what? Instead of bailing, I'm going to carry my cross. I might not like it. I might not understand it. But if I can't change it, I'm going to walk through. Amen. And for once, the people on Facebook, my true friends, yeah. My true friends, you know, they're going to see me still worship. They're going to see me come to church. They're going to see me post the goodness of God, even in my battle. And when they see that, not only am I going to be transformed, but they're going to be transformed too. Amen. See, that was Jesus' secret, was that he said, I don't like nothing about this. Remember, he didn't just sit down and take it either, did he? I mean, the first thing that happened when the Roman soldiers came up to take him is that the minute they stepped too close, boom, they were all on the ground. And until he pulled the glory of God back into himself, they could have never took him anything. And then he said to them, understand this, I could call 12 legions of angels right now. I've lived my life without sin. My Father would honor me, and right now I could ask my Father to send 12 legions of angels, and he'd handle all this business. Remember, last Sunday, 185,000 was taken out by one angel. Praise God. But Jesus said, even though I could do those things that are available to me, I would rather humble myself to the will of God. Amen. See, I'm going to say this to you several times tonight. The more control you would give up, the more control you'd actually have.
Amen.
Wow. You know, I got to tell you something, that since I made the decision to humble myself and come out of the bar and come out of all the places where I used to fight and all that kind of stuff, I got to tell you something. I haven't had a fight in years. Not only because God didn't want me to, but because I chose to say, that's it. I'm never going back into those environments that would cause me to do that. And now the Lord's changed me so much that some of the things I used to fight about, guess what? I'd laugh about them now. You couldn't even talk me back into a fight. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But why is that? Because I said, Lord, not my will, but your will. In other words, Lord, not my way, but your way. And by the way, Lord, even when it makes me uncomfortable and I don't like it, and sometimes I might even hurt through the process, I'm still not going to touch it my way. I'm going to let it be your way. Praise God. So he was letting us know that Christians, this is going to happen. But if you will just be patient, God is going to work it out. He also says that if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and unbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Now listen, I'm not just talking about being just unstable in the moment. I'm talking about as Christians, once we're all in, we're all in. See, Jesus never let what he saw on the street or in the synagogue stop him from being there. Even when he was 12 years old, when his parents came looking for him, where was he at? When he was 18 years old, where was he at? When he was 30, where was he at? And guess what? Jesus suffered a lot, people. What good thing could come out of? Aren't you, or maybe you're not, Joseph the carpenter's son? We don't even know who your daddy is. I mean, there was a lot of things said to Jesus and said to him, and even though people in the world were mean to him, guess what he told his disciples? I got bread to eat that you know not of. If you look for me, you'll find me in the mountain praying. If you look for me, you'll find me seeking my Father. If you look for me, you will find me in the synagogue. Amen? Amen. How did they know where Jesus was when they came to find him? Because his disciples said, oh, let me tell you about this time. We're going to go to that place where he will be praying. Amen. And so here's what I want you to know, Christians, that a double-mindedness, you know, I'm in church today giving my testimony because everything goes well. Now, next week, as soon as I get a problem, not only does my testimony go away, but all of a sudden, the things that are of God can't even be found going on in my life anymore. No, come on. And I'm not saying this to you to beat you up or to be derogatory. We all have moments of battles and weakness. I'm just trying to share with you what it is that's going to finally get us over the top. See, I believe some of you has even been asking God, God, why this? Why this? Why this? Well, let's check our actions and let's check our mouth. Because true love is what? In word and in deed. Amen. If we love the Lord, we keep his commandments. Amen. So the first thing we got to do is let's not be double-minded. When we say we're people of faith, let's stand by faith. When we say we love God, let's love him. When we say we're going to be people of prayer, let's be people of prayer. When we say we're going to watch our words, let's watch our words. When we say we're going to speak only what God wants us to speak, speak only what God wants us to speak. And if we're not saying that, I want you to know that that's part of the problem. Doesn't say bring some thoughts under the captivity of Jesus and let the rest of your vain imagines flow. The Bible says bring every thought into captivity. Amen? Woo, praise the name of the Lord. Ooh. So that's the first thing in James we got to look at is let's make sure that we don't get tossed to and fro like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. No, no, no. We're going to be solid. We're going to stand. Once we make up our mind, we're going to make up our mind. You know, it's been years ago, years and years and years ago. I don't even know how many, but I can remember one time that me and Miss Sweetie Pie was having one of our rare moments of disagreements and one of our rare arguments, and I think she actually said the D word. Whoa, 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 stop right here. That word is not ever allowed to be said in our household. Now listen to me. We can argue. You can yell at me all you want to, but the Bible says that by the time the sun goes down, we put our wrath away, and that's it. And I got to tell you something. In all the years we've been together, I've never slept on the couch. And I never will. Now, I'm not saying this to you, but I want you to know that, you know, that I want you to know that we had that challenge in our house. Remember when we wanted to go on vacation? Well, I don't know what quarantine means to you, but quarantine to me does not mean that I separate myself from being in the same couch as my babe. Amen. Now, I'm not saying that you have to do that. I'm just telling you what I believe. I believe what the Bible says. And there's no need for me to be mad. I love you, baby. If you're watching right now, I may be getting in trouble. I don't know. But anyhow. Well, I'm a little more bold when she's not around. I just realized that. But anyhow, I'm going to go ahead and say this. I don't see any reason why at the end of the day I have to go to bed mad at my wife if the Lord gives us the grace to not let the sun go down on wrath. Amen. Mm. See, this is where I'm saying that I could choose to fight, or I could choose to say, not my will, but your will. And the minute I say your will, guess what? The angel, that I might not see him, but just like the angel came and strengthened Jesus, I'm telling you, the Lord will come and strengthen me. Amen? Yeah. Woo. Now I know my job so well, I can do it all the time. See, one of the scriptures I hope we're going to get to in the next few minutes is casting all your care upon him because he cares for you. Amen? Amen. So now, how do I can be an example of Christ to my wife, because when we go shopping, I'll tell all the people all the time, hey, I'm only here to pay and carry the bag. So see, she could cast all her care upon me. She gets to go pick out what she wants, and I have to take care of paying and carrying. I hope she's not watching this part. But anyhow, what I'm saying in that is that really how we are with God in our life? Do we really walk through life submitting ourselves to him in such a way that we can be blessed by him? Because I want you to know that this is just such an example of what Christ did going to the cross for us. Just when we think about the cross, man, I think about the fact that, man, this was the hardest moment of Jesus' life. It's the hardest thing he had to do. He's walking in the fullness of his relationship with God so much that a voice came from heaven and said, "This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased." Amen? I tell you what, I keep waiting until Miss Regina says, "This is my beloved husband in whom I'm well pleased." Every now and then she lets it slip out, but not often. But anyhow, you think about this. God himself said this about his son. But one of the reasons he was pleased with Jesus is, here Jesus is without sin, without having done anything wrong, but he was willing to take on tough times and walk through them the way God wanted him to walk through them. And so it says here in James chapter 4, verse 6, "But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resist the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." Man, this is why Jesus walked in the abundance of resurrection power. Listen to this. It says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." How do you not resist the devil? Take on your own attitudes, do things your own way, and bail on God when the going gets tough. Stop your praise, stop your worship, stop your giving, and just get an attitude about what you don't like in life and what you're disappointed about. Resist God instead of the devil, and you end up in a tough place. But it says here, if you will submit yourselves, therefore, to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now it even goes farther. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Uh-oh. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Mm-hmm. Have you ever noticed that sometimes when we do come to the end of ourselves and we realize we've done something wrong, remorse sets in. Whew. Sorrow sets in. I mean, you get that lump in your throat, and you think, oh, no, I've missed it. And you have. But the very fact that you come back to that point where you say, okay, Lord, I've been gone too long. I've been trying to do this on my own too long. It's not working. I'm in a hard spot. See, the very fact that you humble yourself will allow the Lord to lift you up. Father, please forgive them, for they know not what they do. Are you kidding me? Jesus, these people lied on you, spat on you, joked about you, was full of pride about who you were. These people came to you for healing and were okay at the synagogue, but now all of a sudden they're turning their back on you. And I'm talking like I'm sure if I was there, I would have been mad. And I would have been saying, Lord, say something, do something, call fire down from heaven. Do what you do, Lord. forgive them. I mean, my mouth would have dropped. I'd probably be toothless because my jaw would have dropped down, bounced all my teeth out, and came back up because I'd be saying, Jesus, are you serious? Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Man, isn't that the epitome of humility? I wonder if there'd be some relationships that could have been restored to us if we had just responded differently. I wonder if there are some marriages that could have been saved, some sibling rivalries that could have been avoided. I wonder if there's some people that would still be in church right beside us lifting hands if we could have just responded differently. Man. Well, I've been really asking the Lord. One of the things I'm asking him is, Lord, make sure from this day forward as I go into 2021, you know, because last year was just so contentious. You know, you saw people rising up. And I got to tell you something, that I'm not on Facebook or anything, but sometimes, well, I do got an account. I got to try to get that thing active here. But anyhow, I probably got a bunch of friends requests out there where people are thinking, I asked him to be my friend 5 months ago. He hasn't accepted me. So I'm still working on it. Don't get mad at me. But anyhow, what I'm just saying is, that boy, sometimes I would see stuff that even Christians would say. And I just started saying, Lord, that's not forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I'm saying this not for you, I'm saying this for me. I started saying, Lord, please let me make sure that I have a heart that's able to overlook and stand in the gap, even for people that are speaking against what I believe, what I know to be true, people trying to hinder my rights, all those kinds of things. Man, Lord, take me to a new level of humility so that I can impact people properly in this world. Amen? Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift us up. And then I just want to share what I already shared with you, but I just think taking a look at it from time to time, especially now, is so important when we look at 1 Peter chapter 5. Oh my goodness. Here it is again. I didn't realize I was going to get into this so wonderfully again, but it says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. You all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Now look, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And this is a good way to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. You know, as Christians, this scripture is saying to us that none of the negative adversities that we face in life should ever overtake us like the world. We should never be found bitter, lost, and on our way to hell instead of heaven because we have backed away from God over events that take place in our life. Now, listen to me. I'm not belittling anything that we go through, because there is devastation that happens. There is devastation and hardship that we have to deal with sometimes. And I tell you, sometimes battles can go on and on. You know, I think of that woman in the Bible that says that she was oppressed of the devil 18 years and was bent over, couldn't straighten herself up. Man, I can't imagine the amount of pain and anguish and hurt and lack of activity and things that was restricted and stolen from her. But what was powerful is that she never let that take her away from God. And as a result, she was there to receive his touch. Woo! I'm telling you, let's make sure that we don't ever put ourselves in a risky place where we might miss the Lord's touch on our life. Amen? You know, when this says be sober, that means that you're going to have to be aware. You're going to have to make sure that you're using wisdom. You're going to have to be vigilant. In other words, you're going to have to be aware enough to say, hey, I got a battle going on. And I want to make sure that I don't allow this thing to overtake me. Jesus didn't just walk through it easily, did he? No, when adversity came, we found Jesus out praying. In fact, he wanted his disciples to pray with him. Now, he was trying to teach them what they were going to need to do when adversity comes. But the point is that Jesus, the Son of God, the mighty Holy One, had to draw himself into prayer in order to get through his biggest battles. Amen? Amen? So I just think that as we step into this weekend, one thing we can do tonight is just remind ourselves that one of the biggest aspects of Jesus' victory is not that life went well for him all the time. And not that everything happened exactly how he wanted it to happen. But how he responded made all the difference. Amen? And I just believe that the Lord is going to help us respond more consistently so we can just close doors from the devil and get the results that we need to see. Amen? I believe we're going to see more healing. I believe we're going to see more liberty, more deliverance. I believe we're going to see better relationships. I believe that we're going to get financial things resolved. I just believe that we are going to see the goodness of God because we are going to be like Jesus. Man, 12 years old. Mama, I love you. But don't you know I need to be about my Father's business? Amen. I think it's time that we just let Satan and any other person that needs to know that it's time for us to stay consistent, stay strong, stay steadfast. We're just going to be like Jesus and we're going to walk through our crosses. We're going to expect resurrection. We're going to expect God's goodness and we're going to expect his help. And no matter what we face, we're going to, by God, not be discouraged. Amen. Hold on to due season. Amen. Woo. Praise God. You keep your job every week because of due season. Got you mad, got you upset. You know, I will tell you this, that people can complain about their jobs a lot, but I do notice that on paycheck day, well, you don't hear near the chatter. Now, come on, when you're working overtime, especially if you only get paid every 2 weeks and you're working overtime and it's hard, boy, by the end of that first week, it seems like that chatter is really starting to escalate. But come Friday, paycheck day. And part of that is because we're thinking different on paycheck day. I'm going to pay this, I'm going to do this. Oh, I'm going shopping for hubby or myself. Going shopping for sweetie pie, my darling wife, or myself. Or we're going out to get something to eat. Or, hey, I'm going to the grocery store. Hey, I'm going to pick up my gift today. Or, hey, we're going out of town this weekend. It's going to be so good to just get away. You know, we change our talk. What could happen if we just took control of our talk on the other days leading up to payday? Even if we had the thought, well, I'm angry today, but by Friday when I get paid, it'll probably be worth it. Amen? Woo! Do we have prayer requests? Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just declare your glory, God. Father, I just thank you right now that, God, you just give us stability. God, give us strength, consistency, faithfulness. It's critical that a steward be found faithful. Give us the ability, God, to stand in the middle of adversity, Father. Give us the ability to shake off what the enemy tries to do to distract us, to take us away from you, Father. And Lord, I just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Father, God, we take this request from Jeremy right now, Father. And Father, we just pray for stability. Father, we pray, God, for the love he has for his son Noah. And Father, we pray for his mother, Father. Hallelujah. That Father, her faith would grow. That it would just become stronger and stronger. And Lord, I just pray that they see your involvement in their life at a deeper level, Father. Lord, that you bring answers, you bring help, God. And Lord, I just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, I love you. I'm going to be here to pray with you. Anybody that needs prayer, and I do need a few people to help me out after service, but I want you to be excited for Resurrection Sunday, amen? Come with your request before God, amen? Make known your request. You know, we're just thankful some good things have happened this week, and hallelujah. Phil and Haley, I'm just going to be praying with you guys on Sunday over what God is doing, amen? Hallelujah. You know, I was reminded this week that there was a woman in the Bible by the name of Hannah. And she went before the Lord in the synagogue praying something and never let a word come out of her mouth. She was just praying inside herself. And God answered that prayer. So I don't know what to tell all you people who have been praying things out loud. Hallelujah. Get your confidence up. Get your faith up, because God is going to hear what you said and he's going to honor your words. Amen. Hey, God bless you. We love you. And we'll see you Sunday. Woo! Praise God.